connecting to the internet.
Internet.
Networking software.
World Wide Web for web.
Computer today.
Computer.
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 NetSurfer Pro.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah?
Can you tell me a story?
Yeah, okay. I see it's about 9 o'clock. It's time to get to bed. All right, so let's see. Let me dust off this old tome, and then let me put it back on the shelf, because that's not what we're reading. Here we go. Let's see. There once was a man named Gold Roger, who was king of the pirates. He had fame, power, and wealth beyond your wildest dreams. But that's what they did to him? Hold on, This is gonna need some editorialization.
Can you tell me about the one about NetSurfer Pro?
Oh, the whirlwind wide through the World Wide Web?
Yeah, with host Matt.
And Galen. Wait, that's you!
That's me?
That's you!
I'm in this story?
Yes, unfortunately. I don't know how it happened, but whoever wrote this story managed to put you in it. I'm afraid this is some sort of phylactery type deal where your soul is bound to the story. You know, maybe a Dorian Gray type thing. You know, I'm really surprised that I allowed myself to say a Dorian Gray type phylactery lich thing when I was worried about the word gallows. Oh no, I said it!
It's the state of the meme!
Wow, it's that time of the episode.
Actually, let me get out of bed real quick, put on my real clothes.
All right, yeah, you don't have to do that in front of me.
Okay, I'll take them back off.
Wait, so while he's doing that, I should mention that we actually have a double feature state of the meme, because there was one thing I wanted to do a state of the meme about, and then we had to push our episode back, and then last weekend, something big happened that I wanted to do a state of the meme about, and I can never make decisions for myself, so I decided to do both.
And I am now fully dressed and ready to talk about one of them.
All right, so let's start off with the original plan, which was going to be airplanes in the night sky, like shooting stars.
Oh so, boy, could we really use a wish right now.
Yeah, so it's the song Airplanes by B.O.B., but specifically a, so it's a, like, an image that somebody drew of Twilight Sparkle and Mordecai from Regular Show singing this song, with sort of the paneling lined up to make it look like they're two star-crossed lovers separated by the world. You know, the old visual language of two people leaning against their walls singing as if they were wishing that their romantic interest was behind them. But it's Twilight Sparkle and Mordecai. Anyways.
Also, like, drawn in a very MS Paint style.
It's super shittily drawn.
Yeah.
It makes Tails Gets Trolled art style look good, which is hard to do. But so, I found this because somebody had sent it to Haley from Paramore, who did the vocals for the chorus in the original song. And she was like, I don't get this, help. But, like, since then I've seen so many recreations and references to it. It's sort of a thing where, like, I've seen just, like, the color purple and the color light blue put together, and people will get what it means in an almost lost sort of way.
Yeah.
It is...
It came to the abstraction phase of memery very quickly. Although I will say, I do remember seeing this original image, like, years ago. I remember seeing the original image quite a while ago, but once it sort of, like, exploded in popularity, it went from, you know, a random meme to, like, instant recognizable lost style abstraction just immediately.
I like to call this a retumbled meme, which is that after the great re-safe for workening of Tumblr, a lot of people move from Tumblr to Twitter, and now a lot of Tumblr memes are getting resurfaced over time as people go, remember when Tumblr was good? And this is one of them.
Yeah.
And I've seen, like, you know, high quality drawings that different artists have made trying to, like, put their own spin on the meme as just taking the concept and giving it actually, like, I don't know, well-made artwork. I've seen, like, 3D remakes. I saw an AMV of Regular Show with it. It's, yeah. It's just super interesting to me how quickly it kind of blew up and then also, yeah, went to abstraction phase. It also has ruined the original song for me. So that's great.
That's entirely fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite recreations thus far have been the examples of real life people getting in on it. As in, there was some lady who, painted her entire face so that one side looked like Twilight Sparkle and one side looked like Mordecai.
Oh, yeah.
And she made more than a couple of TikToks like that, including one of them that used a song from In the Heights. It was really good. Another person had a TikTok, mostly seen the through TikTok, where, they meticulously made a cake of Mordecai and Twilight Sparkle kissing, and then the moment that it shows what it is, there's a half second showing the full cake, and then the next second is cutting the cake right where both of their necks are.
That's great.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Also, it's one of those, crossover of two properties that is very popular in meme crowds. Or just, a blatant disregard for IPs, as we've seen with, Shrek and stuff we'll cover in the future.
Yeah. Although it is also interesting in that, these are IPs that, have... So, regular show isn't, so much a corporate product, I would say. Regular show is very, made for people who watch it. Mm-hmm. And I mean that in a good way. I like regular show.
It's just the product of people who are artists working for a corporation.
Exactly, yeah. And Twilight Sparkle, I mean, My Little Pony, it certainly is a corporate product, but you cannot dissociate it from the fandom that ballooned after it.
They were sort of they were cartoon contemporaries. But with very different viewership.
One was on HBO, one was on Cartoon Network.
Was it HBO? Did they? No, it was The Hub. H-U-B.
Oh, yeah, that was... Right. That
had Dan Versus and Aquabats. I almost said Aqua Teen.
Man, someone made Dan Versus My Little Pony. That artist is, still around and still making shit. They're good. Follow them. Google Dan Versus My Little Pony.
But yeah, it's almost a Romeo and Juliet style romance.
Yeah.
The crackest of ships.
Oh, man. I could talk for fucking ever about ship culture, but that's not that. Let's not distract from the other major state of the meme that we have to cover.
Yes. So the other one that just happened is Jerma's Dollhouse stream. So... I don't remember if we've talked about Jerma before. Jerma 985.
No, if we have, we haven't talked about him nearly extensively enough.
Yeah, so Jerma is a streamer, a Twitch streamer, that used to do YouTube videos. But that doesn't really explain who he is. That doesn't do him justice. He started by doing TF2 videos. But then as Twitch got big, he transitioned to streaming and kind of branched out from there. But he's also, an entertainer first, a showman, and he does a lot of very high concept streams that don't really make sense as far as the Twitch meta, quote unquote, or they don't follow the norm, but they end up being these art projects. So he has
if I can give, and we probably have to have a whole episode about Jerma, so I won't get extremely deep into it, but the general timeline is that he made TF2 videos, then he made sort of gameplay highlight videos that were just sort of the best bits and best jokes. And one running thing was Germania, which was a wrestling stream where all of the Jerma memes and just random Jerma characters would come in. And it was in WWE 2K, whatever, the video game. And so... that became a yearly event. And one year on the Jerma 985 channel, he uploads Germania in real life, where it's a whole Germania match, but it's real life actors. And he starts the second Jerma channel and basically explains, I want the main channel to be for these types of projects now, but I also want to start streaming to, to keep people entertained and, play fun games and whatnot. So second Jerma is for those highlights, and Jerma and the main Jerma channel is for these big projects. But as he has been streaming, he still does big projects like this, and even just random projects when he, did excavation.
Oh yeah. So Yeah, some of these include things like live streaming his family's Thanksgiving and getting into arguments that may have been staged. He did a robot carnival where the chat controlled a machine that shot beanbags at a dunk tank, and they proceeded to manipulate the machine to shoot it at Germa's face. There was the Wonders of Archaeology, where he looked at geodes provided by, like, the Nevada Science Museum group, and he got kind of chided that this wasn't archaeology because it didn't involve humans.
Yeah.
It was geology, not archaeology. And so recently he did the Dollhouse stream, which was something he had planned for a long time. It was essentially what if The Sims, but chat controlled Germa and he was the Sim. And so it was powered by a huge crew of people, kind of led by Kryken, who's another Twitch streamer and content creator, and using this like big Twitch plugin to essentially simulate buying clothes to put on Germa, buying furniture, and then placing it in his house. The house was a set designed for the event, with a front room, a bathroom, and a bedroom, and then more additions were added as the stream went on. And then, like, you know, the furniture was placed in the set during intermissions. And the whole thing was sponsored by Twitch, which gave them more money to use. There were guest appearances by other streamers like Kit Boga and Ludwig. But essentially, it was an improv experiment where Germa had to do what chat told him to do. So, like, every now and then, there'd be a voting period for chat to vote on what he does next. And there'd be things like exercising, taking a piss, taking a shower, going to bed, going to work. And it's really interesting, just like, a lot of it is Germa reacting alongside the way things look. So, like, when he's low on fun, he starts to act really depressed. But then, like, there's a bit, I want to say a scene, there's a scene where he is really sad because he just saw his Uncle Ted's ghost. And so he goes outside to catch butterflies. And as the meter for his fun increases visually, he, like, starts to act like he's enjoying it more and more. So he does a really good job at displaying, like, the thought process of a Sim.
Yeah.
He does a lot of good vamping, a lot of good, like, being antagonistic with the chat. The chat keeps making him exercise and pee to just, like, torture him. There's a lot of just really fun bits as different people show up, like his Uncle Ted, the ghost. Kit Boga plays a grandma named Edna. That's really fun. It was a 3-day event, so 3 separate streams, and I really recommend watching it. I'm assuming somebody's going to make highlights of it in the future, but it's super interesting, and again, we'll have to do an episode on Germa later, because I think he has a lot of really, really cool ideas in the Twitch streaming space.
Yeah. Germa is, like, an exceptional character and a very memeable person, too. You have definitely seen a Germa meme, even if you can't place Germa.
Probably
you've
rats.
Almost certainly seen, I mean, like, you've almost certainly seen when the imposter is sus. I've seen a new one floating around that's like, that's like, you know, an AI put all serial killers and made them into one man, and it's just a picture of Germa.
Yeah. He's also famously in debt with the chat for like $2 million or something.
I thought it was billion.
It's in the billions, you're right. Yeah. We'll have to do an episode on that later. Germa's not the topic of today's episode.
No, it is not, but it is, honestly, of equal and or greater import to meme culture.
Honestly, I think what we're talking about has greater significance. And that's not throwing shade at Germa. I legitimately mean what we're talking about today is foundational in internet meme culture and still echoes throughout it today.
Yeah.
So, we're talking about Deek. D-I-C. A cartoon studio. If you're looking at the episode, you'll know what we're actually talking about, but I want to start out this with a brief history of Deek before we get into the actual meat and potatoes.
Yeah, so you want to put us like in a fact corner, in a sense.
Yes, a corner with facts.
The Fact Corner.
So Deke began solely as a French animation studio until 1982, when a guy named Andy Hayward founded the American branch of Deke. Deke was notable at the time among the industry for being one of the last ununionized studios. So it was one of the last studios to remain ununionized while other studios were unionized. So that sucks. It also was known for kind of being an early adopter of significant outsourcing, especially when it was cheaper to do that than it was to hire American animators. And as such, in the industry, they became known as Does It Cheap. Its first American release was also its first success with Inspector Gadget, and followed up soon with The Littles, which was also fairly successful. Since then, they've made such hits as Captain Planet, Hulk Hogan's Rock and Roll Wrestling, The Real Ghostbusters, Alf the Animated Series, The Chipmunks, G.I. Joe, Hammerman, Street Sharks, Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego, Sabrina the Animated Series, Archie's Weird Mysteries, Dennis the Menace the Cartoon, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures the Cartoon, Karate Kid the Cartoon, New Kids on the Block the Cartoon, Cops the Cartoon, and finally, one of the last series they ever made, Super Duper Sumos.
Holy shit, they're the Super Duper Sumos guys?
Also, they made a movie called Dennis the Menace Dinosaur Hunter. That's very important to note. So, interestingly though, they also made a slew of video game adaptations. I guess because their cartoon adaptations of so many other things were popular enough.
I just kind of want to note that, like, so you might get the impression that, like, you know, they were a crap studio, and make no mistake, we're about to be talking about a kind of crap show, but, like, that is such a massive breadth of, like, quality. Like, there are shows in there that I am certain, you know, even like, the 16-year-old Gen Zers of Among Us. Ah, shit, I said the words. even, like, you know, the younger Gen Zers would recognize, mixed in with what? Mixed in with that show?
With
what?
Celebrity cartoons.
Yeah, the mixed thing in that, with like, Cops, the Animated Series. Yeah,
it's like the thing that Mike Tyson's Mysteries was parodying was just Deke incarnate.
Oh, man. Anyway, so yes, you were saying.
So interestingly, they also made a slew of video game adaptations. This includes things like the Legend of Zelda cartoon, Captain N, which is a nightmare, Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog and Sonic Underground, both of which starred Jaleel White as Sonic, and an Italian-only Double Dragon cartoon, which I didn't know about until researching.
They certainly knew their target market based on this show.
But for today, our main topic is Mario. So they made three Mario cartoons over the span of...
Let me fill in. There's this game you may or may not have heard of called Super Mario Brothers. Came out in the 80s. Came out with this this console you might not have heard of, the Nintendo Entertainment. Let me check my notes here. System, yes, and it had a niche crowd, and so a cartoon was made of it.
Yeah, so there over the course of 3 years, 1989 to 1991, they made three cartoons. Also, it should be noted that in 2008, Deke was merged into Cookie Jar, which was bought by DHX, and later the catalog was bought by Wild Brain. And thank fucking God. Because Wild Brain put all their cartoons on YouTube for free. So any episodes we talk about today, you can just watch on YouTube. Legally, legitly. It's kind of incredible.
And any episodes we don't watch about, you can also watch on YouTube. You can watch the entire cartoon on YouTube.
Yes. So
you shouldn't, but you can.
Oh, you should. So Super Show is what I'll be collectively referring to as the Trilogy of Mario Cartoons. There are three of them, though, and only the first one is technically called the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. That one follows Mario, Luigi, Toad, and Princess Toadstool, now known as Peach, as they kind of go on adventures. It is roughly based off Super Mario Bros. 2, which has the most widely known video game trivia fact of all time, so I won't go further into that. But
the best video game of all time, as voted multiple times by Donkey.
Yes, that's definitely it. But so in Super Show, the original, there wasn't a whole lot of world building done for Mario at the time besides Bowser, aka King Koopa. The other villains, so like it was sort of a Saturday morning cartoon plot of heroes thwart villains and villains goons. Those goons were Triclyde and Mouser from Super Mario Bros. 2. And the plots typically just kind of followed movie parodies. Like there's a Star Wars parody, a Mad Max parody, a Moonwalker parody, question mark. A Ten Commandments parody, which I don't know who signed off on that, but there is an episode called The Ten Commandments. It's great. Watch it. At this time, there were also live-action segments interspersed with the cartoon segments featuring the Mario Brothers in real life in Brooklyn doing plumbing for various like celebrities, including Inspector Gadget, if I remember.
Yeah,
so there's a fun little crossover.
I also seem to know that an interesting bit of trivia is that you may know another small indie game called Team Fortress 2. The voice actor for the medic and I think, was it the sniper? Both actually like had recurring roles on the series. Like they weren't the same character every time, but like they themselves would come onto the show as different characters multiple times.
Ooh, that's fun. So after Super Mario Bros. Super Show, they did The Adventures of Super Mario Bros. 3, which is based off Super Mario Bros. 3, and is more close to Super Mario Bros. 3 than Super Show was to 2. It added the Koopalings, which all had different names because of, I don't know. So, like, Wendy Koopa was named Cootie Pie. Morton Koopa Downey Jr. Sorry, Morton Koopa Jr. was Big Mouth Koopa. I want to say Iggy and Lemmy were Hip and Hop. I don't quite remember. Maybe it was Larry and Lemmy were Hip and Hop and Iggy was Cheatsy. I don't know. Anyways, they all had bad names. It was a lot more accurate to the games in that the locations in the Mushroom Kingdom looked like locations from Super Mario Bros. 3. They had just like the desert world and the giant world and all that as locations. But, you know, they were filled with like Mario blocks and pipes and stuff. Additionally, one of my favorite details is that Bowser flies around on the Doom ship, which is based off his airship levels, specifically in the fact that it looks like a level and not a complete airship, with like random patches of holes in it where like the skeleton of the ship is out, because that's what it looks like in the game.
Yeah.
Also, it added the real world. There were a lot of, I say added, but it made the real world a location they returned to multiple times. Including Bowser going to the real world and also taking over the real world at least once in the episode where, what is it, like Iggy and Lemmy draw on the Great Wall of China? There's also an episode where Wendy becomes president of the United States. That's a fun one. Luigi gets turned into a dog and goes to the Kennedy Space Center.
Yeah, we mean like the real world.
Yeah.
There's an entire episode about like going to Venice.
Yeah, they go to Venice and Bowser tries to take over Venice by sinking it. There's an episode where he releases a plague in New York that turns everybody into Koopas. It's a whole thing. They also had real life songs. I believe there were real life songs in Bros 2 or in Super Show. And then I think SMB3 also had real songs. I know there was an episode with Milli Vanilli.
Yeah,
as themselves.
Rather famously an episode with Milli Vanilli, but also famous is that all the original airings of these episodes are lost media, because the original airings had licensed songs, but then they for the re-releases, created original songs to do the, like, to do the, you know, the work of having a song in an episode.
Yeah, I think...
Which...
The one that I remember is that the On Her Majesty's Plumbing Service, which is the James Bond parody in Super Show, it originally had Secret Agent Man. But then, yeah, if you look at any re-releases since the original airing, it doesn't have that.
Which I have to say is the best lost media, because I want to see the, like, creepy YouTube video made out of that.
Yeah. Top 10 lost media cartoons that still haven't been found. Volume 1, Secret Agent Man, Super Mario Brothers Super Show. So Super Mario World was the last of the three. Following Super Mario World, the video game, it did not have Toad or any Toads. Instead, it added cavemen, in like a very Flintstones-esque world with a lot of like animals and stone technology, you know, like Flintstones technology, like using a bird as a wrench and having a rock TV is a whole episode. There's a common theme of the brothers introducing future tech to the caveman society and it destroying society. Like, there's an episode where they create phones and then a Black Mirror episode ensues. Or the TV episode is about addicting the cavemen to TV. There's an episode where Bowser creates fast food and then it gets everybody fat and it turns Luigi and Yoshi into chickens.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is a very, the Industrial Revolution, its consequences have been disasters for mankind, yes, kind of show.
It's very anti-colonialism. It's kind of wild. So yeah, it also added Yoshi, because Yoshi first premiered in what game?
Ooh, pick me!
Yeah, you, yes you, with your hand up, and your other hand in your pants.
Yoshi's Safari for the Super Nintendo.
Wasn't it Yoshi's Cookie for the Nintendo Entertainment System?
Well, whatever it was, it was not Super Mario World.
Yes, it was not Super Mario World, but Yoshi was added to the show. He's kind of a child, he joins a biker gang in one episode.
As many childs do.
Yeah. And they from the get-go, I believe, they had the fake songs in this instead of having real songs. But I do like to picture that today's episode covers, or the episode we're covering in today's episode, I like to picture it originally had, like, Follow You Down by U2 or something. Was it U2? No, it was Gin Blossoms. Damn. Fuck. Okay.
You're gonna get all the music critics in our DMs.
Yeah. Toad the Wet Sprocket is my favorite Sonic character. Sorry, I had to get that in one of these days. But so, in case you haven't realized it yet, Super Show is one of my favorite TV shows of all time. Not because it's good. It's not good, but it's captivating.
It's at this perfect intersection of, like, it's at the perfect intersection of popularity and laziness.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, it's that 80s era where it's like, you know, this thing is really popular, but we don't want to put in that much work because the kids will just eat it up anyway, no matter what we put out. And that makes it, I mean, infinitely more watchable, like infinitely more fun to watch than like a middling sort of, you know, cartoon. It is the best version of the show it could have been, pretty much.
Deke also had this tendency to find the most bizarre avenues to take their shows down. It's not just for the Mario shows, but also for the Sonic shows and Captain N, Legend of Zelda. Is they would just come up with the weirdest premises for their characters to follow. Or like, they'll like unexpectedly stumble into like fridge horror. There's an episode of Captain N where they meet Tetris people who are being put into a wall, but it's Tetris, so if they complete the wall, they die. That's a real episode of a kid's show.
That, like, that I said, sounds
don't
like,
watch Captain N.
that sounds like a fucking Candle Cove-esque creepypasta thing.
It's a Freddie Wong video. Tetris in real life.
They come across a people made of blocks, but if they complete the wall, they die.
But so Deke's shows end up becoming this weird, like, car fire of, like, it's so captivating, so mysterious. You can't help but look at it, even knowing that, like, it's not good. But, like, you just keep wanting to look at it, hoping that there will be some sort of flash of, you know, sign of life. Instead, you just get fireworks caused by exploding engines, and it's strange. But anyway, so we're talking about the last episode of Super Mario World, the cartoon, which is also the last episode of the series. Mama Luigi. Why is Mama Luigi important?
No, you could have stopped it at why is Mama Luigi?
Yes, why is Luigi Mama? So,
Luigi's the size of an average human mother.
So there's a lot to cover with this episode. I like to say there's a lot going on. There's a lot of moving parts. But I think I want to wait until the end to actually discuss its sort of legacy. But until then, I think we can kind of go over the episode itself.
Yeah.
I want to mention two things, though, really quick. which are two other episodes that are required watching, as in I required Galen to watch them.
Yes, this episode comes with homework. You have to watch three episodes. It's 30 minutes. It's less time. It's less time than that, I don't know, Billiam video you're going to watch.
It's less time than this episode.
Yeah.
So the first one is obviously Mama Luigi, but this is part of a two-part episode because being an American cartoon for kids, it's split into two parts. The episode prior to this is A Little Learning, where Peach tries to teach the cavemen in school. Surprisingly, the school isn't the thing that goes wrong, but rather two of Bowser's kids, Hip and Hop, who again I don't remember which Koopas they're supposed to be, go to school and they're like, we want to learn, but then like they bully the other kids, and Peach it does the trope where like Peach thinks that the good kids are actually the bullies when it turns out the bullies are being bullies and she didn't see it. Which but is
also subverts that because the original bullies are actually the quote unquote good kids. Like they kind of start the whole thing by tricking Hip and Hop into like chewing gum in glass.
Yeah. So there's Ooktar, which is like caveman Bart Simpson, and he hates these two Koopas, and Yoshi is just kind of there for fun. But the cave people are racist towards the Koopas, and they're like, Koopa kid can't go to school. My children at school. Anyways, yeah, Hip and Hop end up burning down the school. They fill it with lava. Mario redirects the pipe of lava back into Bowser's castle. And the last shot of Bowser is lava filling his castle with nobody around to save him. The other important watching is the end of Super Mario Bros. 3, which is Super Koopa, I think it's called, where Bowser gets the powers of the Mario Brothers. As in, he gets, like, a Tanuki suit, a Karibo shoe, a fire flower, a frog suit. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But you need to know that because it follows into the start of Mama Luigi. Mama Luigi is a flashback in the form of a bedtime story told by Luigi to Yoshi as he's tucking Yoshi in for bed. He begins with, we banished King Koopa from Princess Toadstool's Mushroom Kingdom. Or it all started when Mario the Princess and I went to Dinosaur World for a vacation. Then they banished King Koopa from Princess Toadstool's Mushroom Kingdom, but he found a way to escape into the Dinosaur World. So, first point of order is that they left Toad at home. There is no Toad in Super Mario World because he wasn't invited to go on vacation with them.
Which is a consistent thread in Super Mario.
Yes, in the episode prior, Toad complains about always being left behind. He's like, oh, I'm always told to be left behind at the castle. I can never go on adventures. That's what he sounds like. So yeah, that's kind of funny. Then Luigi proceeds to explain how Mario was attacked by Koopa football players. Mario's attacked by a Koopa wizard and a Magnum Bill. Koopa football players grab the princess. Luigi found himself face-to-face with a fire sumo in a scene where he has an incredible dumpy.
Yeah, Luigi fucking is thick, dummy thick yes. in that scene.
He thick.
There's a reanimated of this episode, and I specifically watched them one after the other, and they thankfully keep Luigi's fucking fat dumpy.
Yes. So I need to bring this up. This has been bothering me since I first realized it. Luigi gets none of the enemies' names correct. Koopa football players are called Charging Chucks. Koopa Wizards are Magic Koopas, Magnum Bills are Bonsai Bills, Fire Sumos are Sumo Brothers. I hate it. But the problem is, the people who made the show clearly have played the game, because the rest of the episode follow the game's, like, world's progression pretty well.
Yeah, to quote Dan Olsen in the worst possible way, it seems like it would come from years old memories if it weren't for the incredibly granular details sprinkled in.
Yes. So, like, for example, in the original Super Mario World, the worlds go, there is Yoshi's Island, where you start, then there's Donut Plains, which is a plains, Vanilla Dome, which is a cave, there is, oh no, I don't remember the name of the bridge, Butter Bridge? I think Butter Bridge, where you could either go on a bridge or to the water below. Then there's Forest of Illusion, which is a forest. Then Chocolate Island, which is an island. And then Valley of Bowser. Now, throughout the episode Mama Luigi, he goes from the dome city area, which is like a plains, to a cave, then to the water, then to a forest, and then to the Valley of Bowser. So it roughly follows the progression of the game, but he just it just bothers me how much he gets the names of the enemies wrong. I don't know if they really say it in the game or the manual. Maybe it's just the fact that I have lunar magic that I know the names are the real names and not the names he says. It should be noted, though, that Luigi is a self-professed unreliable narrator. In after he is attacked by the sumo brother, the fire sumo, actually, sorry, he falls for hours, and then Yoshi says hours long time, and then Luigi says, well, it seemed like hours. So Luigi is professed as an unreliable narrator and cannot be trusted. A real Johnny Truant.
This whole episode really is like the Ulysses of our time.
Yes.
And by our time, I mean decidedly not our time.
Yes. He gets a magic balloon, which makes him big and inflates him so that he can float safely to a skull raft. After riding the skull raft, he goes onto a ledge and hits some blocks and finds a Yoshi egg. A green Yoshi comes out of a red Yoshi egg. I'm not going to bother with that.
I'm also not going to bother with the fact that he jumps on blocks. Like, he gets coins from it, but what else was he looking for?
Mushrooms, maybe?
Possibly.
Man's got to eat,
I suppose.
But so, there's these two dinosaurs that are huge that show up behind him, and they want to eat him. And Luigi is like, oh, is this your baby? Here you go. Didn't mean to steal it. And the dinosaurs are like, that's not our baby. What, do you think that looks like our baby? We're different dinosaurs. And then they try to eat him.
Dark green.
Yeah, they look like Barney. They don't look like dinosaurs from the video game. I don't want this to sound too CinemaSins-y, but I need to do this because it's sort of a therapeutic exorcism, you know? I'm not trying to do a, like, you know, this dinosaur is not a real dinosaur in the game. Ding! This scene does not contain Mario. Ding! But, you know.
Well, we can name one positive thing, which is that they actually call Yoshi Yoshisaur.
Yes, Yoshi.
Which is Yoshi's real name.
Yoshi's real name is Yoshisaur T. Munchakoopas, and they named him Yoshisaur. Thank you. Luigi escapes through a pipe, goes through the water, gets attacked by various aquatic enemies from Super Mario World. He gets saved by some dolphins. The dolphins briefly beach themselves to drop him off at the forest. He gets attacked by wigglers, which he, again, calls the wrong thing.
Also, the dolphins, one of my favorite moments is that when he pets the dolphins, like, the dolphin, you know, turns a little bit to him, except that it is literally, like, keyframe one, dolphin is looking forward, keyframe two immediately has jumped to look to him. There is no, like, animation of
There's
looking
no in-betweens,
at him.
No in-betweens, yeah. No smear frames.
Absolutely none.
Yeah, so he calls wigglers worms. They're not worms. Yoshi eats the worms because he's really hungry. He eats Mario. Mario says, now I know how a meatball feels. So Yoshi barfs him up because Yoshi doesn't like meatballs. Yoshi almost ate Mario alive, so that's a thing. Then Mario's like, hey, Bowser kidnapped the princess. We gotta go rescue her. I was just at Bowser's Coney Island Disco Palace. So this
Bitches.
Is... Here's Sorry, the thing. Just... Here's the thing, though. So in Super Mario World, Bowser's castle has a neon sign in front of it. So that's the start, okay? Here's the other thing. They go through the back entrance. There are two entrances to Bowser's castle. The back entrance is a real thing you can do in the game, and it has a light switch, which they hit in the episode. The light switch turns on a disco ball that projects light in the level.
Wait, is so, that why they...
So they're actually completely correct with this.
Holy shit, I had one of my notes being like, they don't collect whatever was in the block that they set Yoshi down for. That's what that does?
Yeah.
Is that's what turns on the stoplight
yeah,
that I also didn't know?
Yeah, it doesn't look like the lights are off, but they say like, where's the light switch? And then Mario says, up there on the ceiling. And then they try to jump, and it doesn't work, so they have to drop Yoshi while they go do that. Yoshi runs off, so they have to chase Yoshi. Cue generic cartoon cliche number 85, where the hapless character effortlessly dodges traps, while the character who's conscious and very, very worried about the other character ends up getting hit by them. We did make a horrible discovery during this part. Yes. So for one thing, this has the song of the episode. It's bad. It's where I said the gin blossoms could go. but we did find out something horrible.
Something that could destabilize meme culture as we know it.
Yes. So Luigi gets crushed by a spike pillar, and the sound it makes is fart with reverb.
That's not a joke. Like, we listened to it multiple times. It sounds exactly like fart with reverb.
And it wasn't just that upload. Every upload we found, even the reanimated, had the same sound effect.
Yeah, so this was a conscious sound effect they put in that sounds exactly like fart with reverb.
Yes, it's ridiculous. It is at 8 minutes and 29 seconds
into the video. You need to listen to it for yourself. Pause the podcast right now. Go find it. Go listen to it and come back and tell us it doesn't sound like fart with reverb.
It's absolutely incredible. Yeah, it shook me. It shook me. So they follow Yoshi into Bowser's throne room, where Bowser attacks them with Mecha Koopas, which is actually his attack in the video game. When you fight Bowser, he throws Mecha Koopas at you that you can spit at him or throw at him, shoot at him, kill him. Yoshi eats the Mecha Koopas. Bowser runs away. They follow Bowser. He comes back and says, like, you can eat my castle, but you can't eat the princess. I mean, you can't take another princess. I'm gonna grab this key and you won't get the princess without this key. And then he holds it just right out in plain view. So Yoshi eats the key. Bowser runs away. Yoshi spits out the key because he doesn't like how it tastes. And he spits it directly into the keyhole, which ends the level and the episode.
Which is another niche reference to the fact that if you have the right item, you can actually complete Super Mario World in, less than a minute with item manipulation.
Yeah, so Yoshi performs arbitrary code execution. Also, at the end of the episode, Luigi says his famous line, "That's Mama Luigi to you, Mario!" When you quote it, you have to do the little wheeze. It's crucial. Also, at the end, after all the story is told, he sees that Yoshi is snoring. So he says, "Good night, Yoshi."
Exactly like Big the Cat. Yes. Not like Luigi.
That's just his voice, too. But like, the it always catches me off guard. It's so good. It just like randomly mumbles. And then Yoshi says, "Good night, Mama Luigi." And Luigi looks at the camera funny. So that's a brief summary of the episode. So something really important is that this is not the last episode chronologically. This is the last episode of the series, but it's a flashback. And like I said before, in the previous episode, Bowser is last seen with his castle filling with lava and nobody around to save him, implying Bowser might be dead by the time Mama Luigi happens. This is a time of peace, and Luigi is able to reflect on his journey here.
It really is. If you chart the whole series on a hero's journey, this really is the denouement.
Yeah, the return home. Toad is forgotten. the episode has a kind of fittingly dreamlike quality to it, where it has a this happens, then this happens, then this happens, without much cause and effect. The other episodes don't really have this problem. Like, the episode where they play football, for example, Luigi, they start playing football to teach the cavemen teamwork. Luigi runs into a Magic Koopa, and the Magic Koopa gets mad, so he turns Luigi into an egg. Then Roy and Morton steal the egg, because I don't remember the actual reason, but they have a reason for it. Mario and Yoshi have to track down Luigi to save him, and they do so over a game of football.
Which has the worst song.
Yeah, but
not in the series, just the worst song ever written.
But it has a cause and effect to the actions happening. Or even a little learning is kind of presented as a sort of arms race of bullying between Oogtar and the Koopa kids, with the end result being the castle burning down.
Yeah, so like, it's like Mama Luigi is just more so than any other episode a series of things happening. And it's just It's great, but it's also just like, I think the surrealism is why it, among like even any other episode, kind of became the meme episode.
Right. Well, so the other thing is just that the surreality kind of fits with it being a bedtime story. Like, I think the frame story sort of framing actually helps the episode. It's kind of dreamlike and childish because that's what Luigi is doing. He's telling a story to make Yoshi fall asleep. And he is an unreliable narrator. But
now, I also want to very much mention, so, like, animation issues aside, like, literal animation problems, I think, another thing to really point out is that when Deke has the nickname of Does It Cheap, it's because the animation, while funny, is also kind of, like, lazy. A lot, like, I can count three, like, quote-unquote, like, necessary animation bits, like, animation jokes. There's Luigi being inflated. There's the bit where Luigi is, like, crushed paper thin, and Mario rolls him up and then reinflates him with a thing to get him normal. And then, like, the jaw drop that King Koopa does, where it's, like, you know, it's the classic, like, jaw literally hitting the floor and then you pick it back up. Like, that is, as far as, like, things that could only really be expressed in animation, that is the extent of it.
Right.
You know?
The direction is definitely more about keeping them like the video game characters than it is to use, like, model deformations for animated effect or for, like, you know, comedic effect or something.
Yeah.
That's not to say they always stay on model, quote-unquote. It's a bit more like Steven Universe, where the model is a suggestion. But, like, I think also just, like, you said earlier about how they skipped using in-between, like, smear frames. And I think that's a fair point to make of, like, it's kind of too much of a storyboard and doesn't have quite the same facets of animation.
Like Steven Universe?
But so, a big part of Mama Luigi's impact on the internet is from YouTube Poops, which we haven't really done a full episode on, but we have touched on multiple times. The important thing about YouTube Poop is that it was a transformative process using original samples that are remixed and remade and re-edited to do stupid things. Mama Luigi and the Super Mario World cartoon, especially, became popular as YouTube Poop sources because it was recognizable characters with Mario and Luigi and all that in a setting that was very open, because the world of the cartoon is not very well defined. They kind of use the same backgrounds all the time. There's not much in the way of, like, music to kind of, you know, command the scene, letting you do a lot of audio edits really easily. They're very simple, so, like, it's very easy to make visual edits as well. And they're kind of wild enough that you can find weird source material from the source material. Like, it's not run-of-the-mill. You can find some weird things, like Luigi inflation.
Or Yoshi Vore, for that matter.
Yeah. Also, it has things like the word balls, which sentence mixers love easy ways to add in swear words. And that's not really a swear word, but it leads to innuendo, so.
Peep my first EP when the opening track is going to be an edit of All-Star, but replacing every other word with cum.
Yeah. So part of the reason why this also became big on YouTube Poops was because for a while there is a website that let you download these episodes for free. Granted, this wasn't technically legal, but it is worth noting that the availability and accessibility of these sources led to it being more widespread. I think likewise, the reason why there was a lot more Mario cartoon YouTube Poops than, like, Captain N or The Legend of Zelda was that accessibility of, like, it being easy to find. The first YouTube Poop actually was made of Super Mario Bros. 3, interestingly enough.
Huh.
He's hot on our tail.
I always assumed it was Hotel Mario.
Nope. The first one was He's Hot on Our Tail, Super Mario Bros. 3 YouTube Poop.
Huh.
But so, Mama Luigi, it's also an episode that, like, you know, we've kind of gone over all the weird things in it. There's still other weird things about it that we didn't really cover. Some of them are kind of hard to bring up.
But, like, even the premise of Yoshi mistaking Luigi for his mama leads to a lot of funny situations, I guess. It's kind of an unusual circumstance for Luigi to be put in, but it's also one that fits with Luigi's characterization in the games, enough that it creates a very interesting contrast between official corporate Nintendo and 80s Nintendo that let people do whatever with their properties. You know, nowadays, there aren't any Nintendo licensed shows for years and years, until recently they announced an Illumination show for Mario, or an Illumination movie. But part of that was like Hotel Mario, the Mario Bros. Movie, and the Mario cartoons were just so weird and like not what Nintendo wanted to cultivate. And so those old properties kind of have this, I want to say, anarchic feel to them.
Like, it is so like strange, especially in hindsight, to see Nintendo be so laissez-faire with their properties of like, hey, we can make a quick buck if we, you know, throw this at some company, and hey, it's also good marketing for us too.
Right. But like, because Nintendo kind of just wants to sweep these under the rug, they've become incredibly available online, including, you know, the current catalog owners uploading it for free. Like, Nintendo doesn't care about these and doesn't want to acknowledge them, and so people have been kind of free to do whatever with them. You know, like, Hotel Mario and Mario World and Mario Bros. 3 and Super Show as a whole, those all are still sources for YouTube poops and YTPMVs and other meme-related content, but it's also something that Nintendo turns a blind eye to. Like, you know, they'll take down AM2R, but they won't take down, you know, Big Beat Mario.
Honestly, I think copyright is another big thing there, too, because, like, you know, other sources, especially, like, musical sources, are obviously, you know, subject to massive, like, a lot of copyright oversight from just music companies being the worst. And so, like, you know,
Well, also, like, a lot of other popular sources often have to deal with getting copyright claimed, like SpongeBob, and I mean, like, you can't really make Simpsons YouTube poops because they get copyright claimed.
Yeah.
Emp Lemon has talked about it a lot. But, like, Mario cartoons kind of just pass by. Also, so there's kind of a funny story about that copyright aspect, which is that Walrus Guy, classic YouTube hooper, famously got into a bit of legal trouble. I think he was sent a cease and desist by Colgate because he made YouTube poops of a Dr. Rabbit like cartoon special that Colgate made to teach kids to brush their teeth. So in one video he made called Mama Luigi Leaves the Stove On, it begins with the intro to Mama Luigi. After it cuts to inside the dome, it immediately smash cuts to a Dr. Rabbit YouTube poop, and that's the rest of the video. So the legal status of Mario YouTube poops was a shield / in-joke about that legality to Walrus Guy, one of the biggest YouTube poopers at the time. Like, because it was so easy to get away with Mario YouTube poops, it was almost a joke, like, I can just put this at the start of the video and no one will notice, wink. Because why would an executive watch more than a second to see if Dr. Rabbit shows up? Whereas an enthusiast will watch the whole video. They're here for the YouTube poop. And I think, so at that point we're talking a lot about YouTube poops, but YouTube poops are surprisingly, like, more and more noticeably a foundational part of internet meme culture. I think YouTube poops are kind of given a sort of relic status. Like, there's a lot of people that currently make YouTube poops, and it still has an active scene because of that, and people are still finding ways to innovate. But I think there's sort of a distinction between the people that actively follow YouTube poops and are enthusiasts versus, like, casual consumers of them who might have seen, like, Skooks or Fesh Pints. To them, YouTube poops are sort of a relic of the early internet, but people continue to make references to them. I think this is more common with CDI sources nowadays, especially Zelda CDI, with like Morshu and all that.
Yeah, Morshu's kind of like branched off into just his own separate meme status practically.
Yeah, I need to get a less squeaky chair. But but like Mario cartoons are still an essential part of that scene and that lifeblood. And I still see references to some of them sometimes. I think in general it's more along people who were fans of YouTube Hoops and just kind of fell out of it. But like, I don't know, it's like a lot of internet comedy is stylized as YouTube Hoops. And without going too far into a full YouTube Hoop episode, I think Mama Luigi is a great example of the sources that drove people to make those YouTube Hoops.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think that's why there's the Mama Luigi reanimated collab. It's one of the most notable episodes of the show, one of the most, like, famous, one of the simultaneously weirdest and least weird, because it's the one that follows the video games the closest. It is one of the least, it's one of the ones that is the least concerned with its own canon. Like, there's no Oogtar, no cavemen, no Koopalings. And it just had enough of a prominence to make it visible in the meme zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a whole lot of other statements.
I don't either. I kind of said my piece. I didn't want this to turn into purely a YouTube Hoop retrospective episode, but it's hard to disentangle the two of them. And in turn, it's hard for me to, like, think about the Super Show cartoons without my knowledge of, like, their internet memedom, like, in the back of my mind, prodding me. Like, remember that? That's from that video. Yeah.
Hey, remember this move?
But if anything, I think that makes them enjoyable in a different way. Again, this is genuinely, like, one of my favorite TV shows, which I only realized while I was researching this. It's like, wow, I think it's just such an interesting series. And I do recommend it to people who are willing to stomach it. Because there's a lot of dumb shit, but the dumbest shit is the best shit. It's like The Room, you know?
Yeah.
But instead
it's the Room of the 80s.
Yeah. Instead of The Room, it's the poop? I don't know.
The poom.
Well, gross. So that'll be it for this episode. Thank you for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at NetSurferPro on Twitter, which I just said, Twitter again. There we go, Twitter. You can get updates on when our episodes will go up, as well as upcoming episodes. I do little emoji teasers. I couldn't really think of one for this episode, so I just did one of the famous quotes from it in the form of emoji. But maybe in later episodes for their teasers, I'll have something a bit better. So you can try to guess what's coming up next, if you're so inclined. And if not, you can also
get it correct. If you get it correct, we will shout you out on the episode.
Yes. Nobody has interacted with those tweets yet, so if you do, you can get a shout out. We'll commit to it now. We're committing. We're very yeah. committed.
We're willing to commit to things that we'll regret later.
Yeah. So you can also follow us on any podcasting platform you like. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Give us some comments. You can also message us on Twitter with your suggestions for future topics to cover, or just any topics you think we might be interested in. Psychonauts 2 is coming out tomorrow, so that's pretty cool. It'll already be out by the time this comes out, so I already dated this. Oops. You can follow me on Twitter at MattCraigGaming. I tweet about what's on my mind, what's been going on, what games I've been playing, stuff I've been watching, things I've been working on. You can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/twack. That's twitch.tv/TWAK. I stream on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday from about 1 p.m. Central Time to 3 or 4 p.m. Central Time. I stream a lot of roguelites, competitive games, fighting games, platformers, what have you. Do some speedruns here and there. So if any of that sounds cool, you can stop by. It's always analytical, always interesting, and always fun. I hope so, at least. And you can also keep an eye out for my Twitter, because I have some interesting thing to drop pretty soon.
Yes.
I'm not going to actually say what it is yet, but when we get closer, I will start posting some teasers for it.
You can find me on Twitter and on TikTok at Galen Wilson. That's at GALENWILS0N. I post my hot takes and sometimes videos of my cat. You can find me on Twitch at Machine Gun Vampire. I might start streaming one of these days, and likewise, I might put up a YouTube video. So if you're interested in YouTube videos, you can find me on The Only Galen on YouTube. I'm still one of the top results. And with that, I think my socials are done.
Mm-hmm. And with that, I think that closes it for this episode. Good night, everyone.
Good night. I don't want to say Mama Matt.